Bwana asifiwe. I'll not be offended if you continue taking your tea, even if you walk around. Only promise me not to talk. A good deal? So don't feel like the preacher will be affected by you enjoying your madazi. Enjoy it fully. Because the alternative is to delay you after 8, which is not fair. Last Saturday, we spent our time talking about ministry. We are in Acts chapter 18. Acts, the full name should be Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. In short, we call it Acts of the Apostles. But they are not Acts of the Apostles. It's Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. In fact, my interest would be, in the last 1 week, how has the Holy Spirit moved you to serve God? Because that's the whole idea about coming here. For the Lord to help us, to refocus us, so that we're involved in ministry. Last week, I went through the various excuses that cause people not to be involved in ministry. You remember? Which excuse did you use not to be involved in ministry this last week? And if it's an excuse, it means it's not a reason. My prayer is that as various excuses come, that you remember Paul and his trips or missionary journeys and see how many challenges he faced and how the Holy Spirit helped him to use the challenges to extend God's kingdom. Today, having now seen that any of the many excuses we use are just that, excuses, we want to now see for the rest of the chapter how different people, now not just Paul, are used. And that's why our tagline is, it takes all to reach all. The emphasis is, there is none of us who is a Christian who is not supposed to be involved in extending God's kingdom. And it takes all types to reach all types. You know, there are people who cannot be reached by noisy people. For them, they hate noisy people. Talkative people, they want to run away from them. They just like quiet, shy people. And when they are near shy people, they do not even raise their defenses. When the Holy Spirit attacks, you'll not even be aware. Because he came through a quiet person. But others are the type that, unless you are noisy, they simply can't hear you. Say that again. I beg your pardon. But you know, there are some of you gifted. Nobody ever tells you beg your pardon. Because you are so loud. There's no way anybody needs to beg your pardon. And for you, the type that are a little deaf to God's word need your type. Are we together? It takes all type to reach all types. So you may not reach everybody, but there is a type that God will give you. I may never be invited to your clan meeting. Never. I may never be invited to your clan meeting because they are confidential. Your grandfather doesn't want to see a son who is not part of his products. But you are part of it, isn't it? You'll be there wapende asipende. It takes your clan's membership to reach your clan. Are we together? When your grandfather is talking to a grandson, he'll just be enjoying talking to a grandson before the Holy Spirit touches him. You need to understand your membership in that clan. The same thing with your professions. Yeah, you only need to hear. You know, I still remember one day I think it must be 94, 95. I was on VOK for about 6 months on a program that used to be called Yours Faithfully. And it used to be on Monday, repeated on Friday. Now, Monday, it was Monday evening. So I listened. Friday, it would be during office hours. So I wouldn't hear it. So I didn't even care to think that on Fridays. Then one day, I was coming out of the office on a Friday, and we had that the same lift with my CEO, who was an Englishman. I said, John, you are on radio? I said, no. I couldn't remember being on radio. I said, no, I'm sure you are the one I had this afternoon coming from the airport. You're talking about that program. Now, you see, he's an atheist. He would never listen to such a message until he heard one of his managers was the one talking. And now he got interested to listen. It took a Shell manager to talk to a Shell CEO. Are you getting the difference? And you need to understand that it will take you in your career, in your profession, to reach people in your office. I hope you are aware that the most unreached people are not just out there where we have set up churches among the Baranas. They are actually part of your office. Are you to think it's a joke? Until one day, and I have given this story before, but Saturday PM has many people, so I can repeat it. I was serving, first of all, you know, I was working, before I retired, I used to work for a multinational oil company, and we had a visitor from a London office, and he was visiting my department. So we went all over Kisumu, Mombasa, with a white man. And since we are going everywhere with him, I took it upon myself to witness to this Mzungu. So I was talking to him about what it means to be a Christian. And remember, we would go out of the depot, sleep in one hotel or another. So I was talking to him because I thought God must have brought him to Kenya to hear God's word, as he was here to check how we are operating. Now, when we came, before we could make a presentation to the board in the boardroom, we saw my immediate boss. I was then in middle management. We saw my immediate boss to tell him what the results of the visit are before we got to everybody else in the management team. And when we went to his office, he told my boss, "Hey, you gave me a preacher for a partner." I was a little embarrassed because it was supposed to be confidential and personal. I was not supposing you come and bring it up. So as a way of trying to defend myself, I told the Mzungu, even so-and-so is my boss. Even so-and-so is also a Christian. My boss, who was an African, said, "John, who told you I'm a Christian? I am not." Now, yes, it becomes a debate, but you don't beat me easily. I said, "You go to church," because he has denied he's a Christian. They say, "You go to church." Me, the last time I was in a church was before I went to Britain. He did university in Britain. I have never been to church. "No, you can't say that. Surely when there's a wedding, don't you go to church?" He said, "I don't go to church." "You want to tell me you don't go to church even when your relatives are getting married?" "Yes. I went to the till they come out of the church, I go to the reception." "Hey, surely there are funerals in your family." You can see you don't beat him easily. He said, "Even funerals, I wait until the burial." You know, I was actually beaten. That there is somebody who is with me in the office and the gospel for more than 25 that years from the time he left high school, he has never been touched by the gospel. In fact, I had to find out from him, "Does anybody even come to your house?" Say, "John, they can't come to my house. I have mbwa kali. My dogs are so fierce that even my relatives know they must ring in advance. It can finish them." Now, so no neighbor can ever preach to him. And he's in Nairobi. Totally unreached. Am I communicating? Some of your office mates, especially the senior ones, don't go to any church anytime. Sunday is a golf day. Unless you tell them, we are spending a lot of money as Sitam to go to Northeastern, when seated next to you is a guy who will cost you nothing. Now, you need to understand clearly, it takes all time to reach all types. And you need to know, you have to give an answer. When somebody in your place of work is unreached, and his defense in heaven is, "Nobody told me." And you are there? Are you getting the message? Ezekiel says, if a watchman does not mention to the city that the enemy is coming and they are killed, their blood will be required out of their hands. But if he tells them and they still go to hell, the blood will be on their heads. Am I communicating? That's what happened today. It takes all to reach all. And I want you to find out which is it. That's from verse 18, right up to the end. Verse 18 says, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time, And why is the Bible emphasizing that he stayed in Corinth for some time? It's because he needed to go to many places. Yet God held him in Corinth for some time. And some of you, I am saying, are going to be in a place because they can't be thrown out. Remember, we saw last week that they tried very much to get rid of him. You remember? They tried very hard to get rid of him. They even took him to court to get rid of him. But when they went before the judge, they changed. And he said, those kind of matters, I don't judge. Then they took another guy and started beating him up. He ignored. You remember? From then onwards, if the Supreme Court has decided you are not guilty, do they have an alternative? The guy stayed as long as he wanted. Now, you need to understand the reason why you are in your place of employment longer than others. Everybody comes and goes. You are just getting promotions. Might it be because God takes that your type to reach those type? That you need to be there longer for some time. Are we together? But I want to tell you the real problem they had was because Paul was a citizen of Rome. Now, when he is a citizen, he has legal protection on the basis of that protection. And because he was someone, all the others would be beaten and thrown out. But he's a Roman citizen. When it came to a real problem, he reminded the judge, I'm a Roman citizen. The one, you are? He was about to prove to them. And then they don't know what to do with him. My friend, let me ask you, what are the privileges that you have that allow you to stay for some time? Others are being thrown out, but you can stay for some time. A privilege. Like for him, it was citizenship. Maybe for you, it's beauty. You are so beautiful, even when people want to beat you up, they feel it's a privilege to be near you. You can stay for some time. All the other people, they are beating up, but for your beauty, they don't know what to do with you. They hate your Christianity, but they can't fail to admire your beauty. Maybe for you is brightness. Everything you touch in your place of work works. They want to fire you, but they realize they fire you at their own risk. Am I communicating? So they have you there. They don't want you, but they have you there. Maybe you're in a Hindi company, an Indian company, where they don't like your Christianity. You're in a Muslim place. They don't like your Christianity at all. But every time they meet in the temple or in the mosque to discuss firing you, they realize your company will go down. God has given you such grace, such a competence, such ability, they can't get you. So you'll stay for some time. I don't know exactly what God has given you as a privilege. Maybe the company is your father's company. So even when they want to get rid of you, your father is the only one who can fire you. And he's not about to fire you. So you are there for some time because it's your father's company. Anyway, all companies are our father's company in heaven. But I'm talking about the ones that are on earth. And I thought, wow, how many privileges have I had that I don't realize that privilege is a vehicle for ministry? Huh? Maybe it's that I can speak English with a Queen's accent, not quite me. But that may be all that is required. A Mzungu comes to your company, just your English attracts him. And you need to understand there is a reason for it. I don't know what but the Holy Spirit will show you. The privilege God has given you, not for waste, but for ministry. It takes those privileged people to reach others. As you remember, when I was the chairman of the Bible study in Sitam, we were talking about a group, a certain estate that had no Bible study. And they said, we are trying to begin, but you know, these are rich people's area. They are difficult. You know, they have mbwakari, you know, uzunguni. So it's difficult to start. I asked the person, are you a tenant or are you an owner? I'm an owner. Now, some of those people are tenants. You are the owner. Which house will you go and you say you are the owner of the next house and they tell you not to come in? And I've tried it. If you got your neighbor and they want to know who are you? Ah, I'm so-and-so from house number 2. Oh, welcome. You are a neighbor, so you're able to come in. So if you are living in a rich people's area, no wonder God gave you the mortgage to operate there. Because anybody else will be seen as a poor man coming to look for a job until you say, I'm your neighbor. Oh, you are. Now, you need to ask yourself, what are those privileges that you have? Am I communicating? That you understand that are the one that will open ministry, the privilege you have. Which is it? He goes on to say, then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed to Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Now, interesting. It is usual to start with Aquila before Priscilla. Because Aquila is a man, Priscilla is the woman. Now, there seems to be something special about this couple. Something special about this couple. And initially, we meet them, husband and wife. Until after that, in several lines, we hear the wife first. Maybe for you, my sister, you are married. But you are married to a man who accepts women. She even keeps encouraging you. You see, it takes family teams to reach some. You know, when our children were young, my wife just felt the Lord was calling her to begin Bible club in the where we were staying. And it's difficult because people don't like their children running to other people's houses. But because our children were young, it was possible for us to tell them, who are the children you play with? Come with them on Saturday to a Bible club. Then somebody, who is that? Is the neighbor in such and such house. As long as we are small children, all the other parents, if it is mama and boy, let my children go. I would come to our house on a Saturday afternoon. The children were everywhere, seated on the carpet, everywhere, full. And those children are now adults. The other day, one who is a medical consultant, he finished medicine, became a consultant, was visiting with a wife. And I remember the small boy, he seated on our carpet, years gone by. What my wife used is simply that we are a couple. If you are a bachelor, please don't try that ministry. You will be taken to court. They will accuse you of child abuse. Am I communicating? And if your husband is Babakali, please don't try. He cannot stand children everywhere when he is passing. Am I communicating? Why has God given you a good marriage? It's because it takes family teams to reach certain types of people. And you need to ask yourself, do I look forward to a marriage the kind of marriage that helps people, who works for the Lord as a team? Do you see your marriage as part of an evangelistic team? Then it means that if there's a boy you are dating, ask him, do you see us witnessing? No. Now, please, don't give another date. The one you had is enough. You cannot, if you truly want to continue serving the Lord, there's no way you marry somebody who doesn't want to serve and you still hope to serve. It is very difficult to be a married man to somebody going to hell. You are likely to go there too. Remember, if you marry the devil's daughter, the devil becomes your father-in-law. It's very important. Very important to understand. Priscilla and Aquila gave their life to the Lord, and because of the teamwork, we hear them from Rome, from Corinth. They are moving from city, even Ephesus. They are coming from city to city. It will take your marriage through certain people. And even a ministry like the one of premarital counseling. You may be the best theologian we know on marriage, but we cannot allow you in there if you haven't gotten a wife yourself. What do you know? It's important to start understanding there is something. And Priscilla and Aquila teach us that you can minister as couples. Instead of thinking that you minister as a person, you come both of you. You do ministry both of you. But many sisters, and I'm talking to my brothers now, many sisters in their campus days, they were dynamite serving the Lord. They married you and the fire was turned off. We do not have a lot of research to do to know you are the cause. If only you are a better husband, your wife would still continue to serve. But you became the switch off. Am I communicating? If it's not, forgive me. But I'm talking about those who have switched their wives off. And you know some of those, the switch off are many things. You preach well, they ask you, so you want to compete with me. Now, you need to understand, she doesn't want to lose you as a husband. That's the last time she preaches, isn't it? Yeah, you say, you are being proud. You release part of our personal information. You are criticized until you say the best way is stop. Priscilla and Aquila were different. Priscilla was the end. And you know, some men are in competition with their wives. And because they are in competition with their wives, they never want their wives to see their wives shine. Because if the wife shines, they feel small. Because for them, they understand marriage as a competition. Whereas marriage is the other way around. is complementing one, not competing with one another. That's why Aquila seems to have allowed Priscilla to outshine him. There are areas, maybe in making tents, he was the architect. But in terms of ministry, it sounds from the way the word of God is put, she started shining more than the husband. And he had no difficulty. They still continue in the same team. Many men, when the wife shines, he runs away. He doesn't want to be seen there. Doesn't even want to identify himself with that shining wife. In fact, that thing is so serious that in Kenya, we are accused as men that whenever a woman succeeds, she can only do so after throwing away the man. If you want to know it's true, just study the great women of Kenya. Many of them, you have never heard of their husband. Am I communicating? He was kicked away a long time ago. It sounds like once a wife is doing well, she cannot do so after kicking the husband. But that's not a Christian thing. We can see a couple, Priscilla and Aquila, who where the husband, the wife can shine, and the man is not intimidated. Now, so I want to ask you, and I'm talking to men just now, are you the kind of man who is intimidated by a successful woman? Then please don't get married. Because you might marry, thinking she cannot succeed, then she starts succeeding. So, and you interfere with the call of God in her life. Goes on to say, before he sailed, that's Paul, he had his hair cut off as Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. Ah, that's surprising about Paul. Paul is the one who fought for the Gentiles, not to follow Jewish customs, not to be forced to follow Jewish customs. But the truth of the matter is, he himself, in order to reach the Jews, he continued doing certain things that were not required for Christians. So here he is, Christians should not be asked. But him as a Jew, he actually does it. Are we together? So I want to ask you, it takes, according to this, it takes people who are willing to be like others in order to reach them. Paul actually says elsewhere, I became all things so that I may win all. So I'm asking, what is it? Some of you simply cannot preach in a marketplace. Because you are so senior. What about being seen in a marketplace? My friend, you need that ability, like Paul, to go the trash of Jewish customs, which he knows are not going to gain, but he's doing them so that he can enter the temple. Are we together? When they accuse him in the temple, he said, never. I obeyed those rules. Yet he's telling the Gentiles, I'm not obeying them for heaven. I'm bothering them only so that I don't, so that I don't affect others. You know, one of the things some of you are good at is being like your grandmother. You are able to talk to her in vernacular. You wear like her, the way she can accept. Not because that's what you like dressing, but so that she can accept you. Are we together? But some of you say, no, I'll go to intrusers to the village. Then your grandmother sees you and says, that must be hell. Now, since you are not going to stay there forever, why can't you wear a dress, not for your sake, for her, so that she can listen to your message? Why should dress be the one to stop you? And you know, most of you I see are young. Those of us who got saved in the 60s and 70s, in Central Province, and in many places, the only fellowship that was available was called Tukutenderesa. They had so many rules that when I got saved, there was no other fellowship to join. I joined it. And I used to wear a line on my hair. We used to call it Rory. Now, I went to the fellowship, and they said, Chetani, Chetani. I looked for him. It was my hair. That was in the 1960s. That's the last time I've had the Rory. I gave it up for Christ. Not quite for Christ. For them, I don't believe it is written in the Bible that thou shalt not have a Rory in your hair. You know, that is, of course, we must have copied the white. You pull a line, the hair goes this way, the hair goes that way. Then it was supposed to, according to them, the only way you can wear the Rory is because you are trying to win girls. So it is Chetani. But we stopped. If you talk to Rebecca, my wife, you will be told. You are not allowed to welcome a tutor. You could not spray to your hair. If you did, they knew you are going to hell. So here is somebody from a school in Nairobi where they work on their hair. When you go for holidays, they accurately inspect. And when it's wrong, they wonder, how did it become that wrong? Are you doing it? Now, you actually became like the old women with your hair on a kichanui, kichanuo, nothing else. You can't do anything more for the sake of the gospel. When you hear people who say, I can't change, I am not a prisoner to them, they misunderstand Paul. Paul knew very well it was not necessary for him to keep Jewish rules. He kept it for the sake of the kingdom. What are the things you are saying? I can't do that. No. Freedom. In Christ, freedom. I became all things so that I may win all. And I don't know who I'm talking to. Who has that pride? You know, some of them even say that they were in Britain and they came back taking wine is not a big issue. Then you go to the village bar to take wine. And then you preach to them. They just burst into laughter, isn't it? So the reason in Africa, Christians don't even take a little wine, leave alone a lot, is for the sake of the kingdom. Am I communicating? You know, you can never be drunk without starting with a little. Am I communicating? So if you have no intention of getting drunk, why do you want to even start with that? Am I communicating? I agree the Bible does not say thou shalt not take wine. It says thou shalt not get drunk. But surely, how will you get drunk without taking wine? That's why we don't even take a little. Now I see you in weddings, a Christian wedding. The parents are saved. The parents are saved. The couples, the bridegroom is saved. Everybody is saved. And then to take a cake, they are opening champagne. Have you seen it? And they are claiming to go to heaven. Which one? You need to understand that although taking the wine will not take you to hell, having spoiled the other people, because they now go home saying, you see, these are saved. I'll start taking the wine. And you are the cause. You think it is, you can do that to God's kingdom and still be on your way to heaven? You need to understand. That's why we don't do that. You allow non-Christians to do it in your weddings. But yours, the wedding is one of the most evangelistic items on any person's calendar. If you came to my wedding in 1979, I don't know, one of our members here was called Harun Died the other day, or Harun Opinya. I told him, preach, and they cannot accord. Because my relatives have come to see a wedding. They will come. If you tell them to come for a sermon, they will not come. But they are there to eat the cake, before the cake, to anger. Now, you need to understand, clearly. And the wedding could not be in Nairobi. The wedding had to be right in the village, because that's where my relatives are, isn't it? And I want them to get... Say, for you, the wedding is just a show off. You don't see the opportunity. Remember, our discussion is it takes all. Sacrificing your own wedding, some of the things you like, so that you do the things that will not cause the people, become an impediment to the gospel. So they can, am I communicating? I repeat myself, I'm not saying that the Bible says if you take wine, you are going to hell. It is if you take a wine to destroy others. Am I communicating? And it's an important thing to understand, to do. So for me, my recommendation is don't touch it. Because the moment you start taking a little, you will take it in the presence of another person who feels justified to take a lot. And it's important to understand. So this is very important to understand. This guy is taking religious activities that are not necessary. Verse 19, they arrived at Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. You know, it takes a team of players. First of all, remember, Paul is the chief minister, but he doesn't go alone. Priscilla and Aquila have just been trained in Christian things by him, but now he takes them to walk with him. If it's, there are people who will be reached by others, if only you include them in the team. I've just come from Nakuru. Last time I was speaking to some people in Nakuru in a dinner last night. And a young man said, can I go with you? He said, yes, and I'll drive you. So he's on the road in Nakuru and drove me back. Why? I want him to have a chance. I was speaking to all the sub-county principals of Joro sub-county, principals of schools, of all high schools in Joro. And he wants to hear. His question was, how do you talk as a Christian to a group of leaders who are not necessarily Christian? So he's coming to listen. And as we are coming back, he's asking me questions. You see, the preachers the young person can reach, I'll never go, isn't it? But by walking with me, he is starting to learn things
so that he can reach where I cannot reach. And I ask you, are you being like Paul, who will take Priscilla and Aquila for a mission to Ephesus? And then after some time, he actually left them in Ephesus and moved on. He could trust them. He knew that he had trained them well. Then we are told in the verse that he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Maybe for them, they were not at that level. So he went on his own to the Jews. And what do we see here? It takes intellectuals who can handle apologetics. You see, the Jews were not going to sit wait for him to preach to them. They reason. He has to show them that the Christ is actually the Messiah in the Bible. So it required apologetics. And some of us are that not our level. But there are some of you who regard yourself as clever. If you are clever enough, study. And you know, you need to do your PhD in order so that you can take on the intellectuals with the gospel. Are we together? That's why Paul knew the law of Moses well enough to take anybody on. And in the process, some of them gave their life to Christ. And you need to understand that. Some of you need to be in the universities of the world, where you go there to handle the intellectuals. They start talking about that God was not the creator. And you ask them, where did the world begin? And you have read enough, you understand that they don't know the answer. Let them go around in circles until they admit they don't know. Now you need to understand, you are then able to show them that God is a creator. That's what you are talking about. And that's what Paul was actually doing. And it will take you to be that kind of a person. And I'm asking, you know, the other day, one of the big things that's happening in Kenya currently is a big move towards traditions. That's why we have the Kalenjin Council of Elders. We have during Jeke in Meru. We have Kikuyus are calling them Kiama Kiama. You know, all of them are trying to get us from the church. And they're not asking you to leave the church. They are telling you can be in the church, but at the same time, do those traditions. I'm sympathizing with many of you trying to get married. Because for us, once you said you are saved when you got married in the 1970s, they understood you can't do those things. But all of a sudden, even if you say you are saved, and the father of the girl is saved, they just backslide at the time of negotiations. And they want to do everything that they said. And they tell you we are Christians. In fact, they'll call a pastor to be the one to pray first before the negotiations. As soon as he finishes, a kamuse in a brown shuka takes over. Have you heard of those things? Now, when I saw it the first time, I went to the young men that were, of course, we are old men. We are all grandfathers. I went to the men that were on my queue during 1979. And I told them, we are their age that can answer questions. Our qualification is age. You need to understand traditions and understand the Bible and then take them on. And for the last 1 year, we have been moving. We are in Nakuru. We were in Nyandarua. The other day, we were in Kirinyaga during the Anglican Synod. I was in the General Assembly of PCA. During apologetics on Christianity and culture. And it's been so interesting to see God, because I didn't know when they hear I'm a Pentecostal, and these are Anglican, the Presbyterians, but the pastors are so disturbed at it. When they hear somebody willing to talk, come. God has opened doors, but you have to be ready to understand culture, understand Christianity, and tell them why a Kikuyu adult cannot join the Council of Kikuyu Elders. What's the problem? Because they see it, it's a political thing. The politicians are encouraging it because it's allowing the tribe to become cohesive. You must give them biblical reasons. Now, the question is, which are the areas that you know enough to be able to do apologetics on? Paul knew the Jewish law, and so he took them on. And it's important to ask yourself, is that something you are doing? Verse 20, when they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. In other words, if you are not very careful, you might not achieve much. Because you might stay, although you have been told to stay long, you might stay too long. Paul knew to stay long enough until the Holy Spirit asks him to go to another place. And many people who are not timekeeping are able to waste a lot of time. You go witnessing and you start talking about Manu. Then you talk about, which is the other team, and you talk about them. After 1 hour, you are still talking about the ball that was hit from the left side. Now, and you look at your watch, you are supposed to go. You have told them nothing about Jesus. You took too long at the swimming pool. You know, when you want to dive, you normally swing the boat, isn't it? You took all of a swing until time was finished. Now you walk away without going to a swimming pool. That's what a lot of people do when they are not conscious about what is the reason that brought me here. There'll be a negotiation, there'll be an argument about Kikuyu culture, but you know that's not what you're after. You're after showing them Christ. Are we together? And it's important to ask yourself, is that what you are doing? So he declined. And you need to understand, sometimes they invite you to a debate. Sometimes you need to say no. Because it's just a good way. What's the debate? Raira is not a Christian. Now, whether he is or is not, that's not a biblical question. Are we together? So you need to understand, don't allow that to go. It will just become a political debate. There are questions you don't bother with. Don't be caught up in those issues. You decline because you know where you are going and you know what you actually want to achieve. But verse 21 says, but as he left, he made a promise. You know, that issue is, you want to go. You want to stop there. But do you have diplomatic finesse so that you are able to tell them no and they still continue inviting you? Are you getting the point? That's what he does. He tells them no, but then he makes a promise to come back. And some of us lack diplomacy. Some people can only be won by the diplomatic. People who know how to handle sensitive situations. Where you can tell somebody you are going to hell, but in such a way, he still smiles. But he knows that he is going to hell. You need diplomacy. And that's a way where Paul is able to handle the matter so that they can go. And that's a very important thing because a lot of us sometimes are rough. And you say you are rough in Jesus' name. No. There's a time you need to say no, but in such a way that people will still welcome you next time. Who are these people who require diplomacy? And you are lacking diplomacy, so they can't get to know the Lord because you don't know how to be diplomatic, you know? And according to you, say, I tell us as it is. Paul could tell us as it is, so he must leave, but in such a way that they feel they are not despised. Am I communicating? And it's important to understand. It's just like the issue of witnessing to old people. For old people at your age, the only way you can reach them is to show them how much you respect them. You know, when they feel respected, they can give you anything. But the moment they sense you don't care about them, you think you are their age mate, you have lost them. Don't talk about Jesus. And you know, they quote the Bible. They say, honor your father and mother. Isn't that part of the Ten Commandments? And you are not honoring. But you know, you can honor them as you refuse to go to the witch doctor. They're saying, you know, we're having trouble in our family. We must call a witch here. And you know, the issue is, they call him, don't call him a witch. They call a man of God. You know. And you know very well he's a witch, but that's not the title they are using. And you are supposed to go to your family meeting as they call those ones and they are going to sacrifice. You must tell them, no, you can't participate in it. But you must tell them in such a way. It's after you have gone, they said, hiya, we allowed her to go. But they have already allowed you not to attend. Am I communicating? Because you see, you must still honor them. You must be diplomatic if you are going to reach them. And that's an important thing for us to deal with. The verse goes on to say, don't be hurt. I will come back if it is God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus. You see, a lot of diplomatic people have a problem. They always make promises. They have no intention of keeping, you know. So because you want to please somebody, you tell them, you know, I'll not eat today. I'll eat next time I come. How sure are you? You'll not be satisfied. But you need to understand, he says, I'll come back if God wills. Am I communicating? Yeah, so because you say I'm coming and you don't come, that's a lie, isn't it? However, in the case of Paul, he actually came back to Ephesus. In fact, on his final journey, he actually went and talked with the Ephesian, Acts chapter 20. He actually comes back. He keeps his promise. So we are saying we need people who not only make promises, they make promises they intend to keep. One of the dangers in ministry is people doubting you. They don't doubt God's word, but they know you cannot be relied on. You lied yesterday, and even last year you lied. Now, you are telling about Jesus. How do they know you are not yet again? Now, you need to understand clearly, even as you are diplomatic, never be diplomatic in such a way that you tell something that you have no intention of keeping. And even if they don't discover, God knows you are lying. Are we together? And that's what would worry you. So diplomacy, which I've emphasized, should not cause you to end up saying something. Your mother says, Are you coming for the sacrifice? Says, you know, I have so much work. You actually do have so much work. But the real reason you are not coming is you do not want to attend when you are sacrificed to demons. Are we together? So you need to find a way of not lying, yet say something that will not hurt them. Am I communicating? That's diplomacy. Diplomacy is not telling a lie to get them off your back. And it's important because, and why? Remember our discussion is about it takes all to reach all. If you actually lie, and they later discover you lied, you will lose them. And your intention is nobody God brings to a direction will ever go to hell. You love them enough to want them to go. So even if it will put you in a very comfortable position, you better be the one uncomfortable than to lose them for the kingdom of God. And that's really what we are discussing. Verse 22 says, when he landed in Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. His intention is he had been sent from Antioch, so he wants to go to Antioch. But he realizes the pillars of the faith are actually in Jerusalem. The leaders of Christendom then are in Jerusalem. It takes the church-based people to reach the kingdom. And there are many people calling themselves freelance. You are an evangelist. I'm a evangelist international. Where? Freelance. Now, you can see clearly, although this guy was an evangelist, he had a base. Are we together? And that's why I'm hoping from our church that we will create teams sponsored by the church who are reaching every corner of the world, but they come back and give us reports. That's what you need to understand. You need to understand the Bible says the church is the pillar of truth. That means when you preach something, to check whether it is true, come and check it with the church. Am I communicating? A pillar is something that holds the whole building. It's not the building, but it's the one holding the building. And the church is that. So you need to ask yourself, am I a church vagabond? You know what a vagabond? Do you know that English? Do you know a vagabond? A man of no fixed abode. And there are people like that. One day they are in the Valley Road. The next time they are in River Road. Now you are not sure exactly where they are. They have no church of their own. I preach in many places. I go to many, but I always tell them my church is called Sitam Valley Road. I still remember when Pastor White asked me to become a deacon in the 1990s. And I said, but Pastor, you know I'm not in church regularly. He says, we are okay with you. Continue preaching. But joining the deacon board, it doesn't meet on Sunday mornings. So my defense was removed. That's how I became a deacon. With the understanding, this is where I report back. I share everywhere. You hear I was in Nakuru. Tomorrow, I'm in an Anglican church. I move around. But my base is Barry Road. And you need to understand, Paul was a great preacher, greater than many of the leaders in Jerusalem. But he still reported back in Jerusalem. And you need to ask yourself, is there a ministry God is asking you to be involved in? Isn't it good? And I'm hoping our elders will also be wise. They don't become a clearing house that blocks all clearance. Now, it's very important to understand you need to share with them. You need to have an accountability system. Are we together? That's what Paul is actually doing. He went back. Before going back to Antioch, he goes to Jerusalem. It takes such people. Because when they are going off the wrong direction, they are able to be corrected. You know, you see a vision at night and it tells you something. And you feel, hallelujah, God talked with me. Come and check. It might just be a demon that visited. And I'm not original with it. Next week, I'm giving a Bible exposition on Galatians to some fellowship in town. And I've been trying to look at the book Galatians. Paul says, when he saw the Lord, understood from God, he went to Jerusalem to check with the pillars of the faith. And they discovered what he had heard from God was okay. They never corrected him. except in telling him to continue preaching to Gentiles. Have you read that? So you need to understand that the people that are going to reach places, and it's exactly the same. Those of us who go everywhere, you can't go dropping people, and then they have no follow-up. I'm very impressed by one of our church members here who has invited me tomorrow to witness to people, 50 of them, that he has led to the Lord this year. He says every time he is in a Uber, he starts preaching to the driver. They reach a place and they stop the vehicle. I don't know who is paying at that time. They stop the vehicle and he gets saved. And he has called them. Just this afternoon, he sent me a list of 50 people. And he told me the wife is also coming with another 10. Whom I'll be speaking to tomorrow afternoon, God willing. Am I communicating? So you need to understand his concern is, it's not enough to win. The Bible says, go to the whole world. Those who believe, you don't run away from. You teach them. Are we together? And the work of the church is, and I do that, every time I win somebody to the Lord, I send them to the new believers class here. And there are people I have sent here. I always check, where do you come from? The other day, I sent one in Gong. The recent one I witnessed to in Nairobi told me they are from Kapsabet. I rang the pastor in Kapsabet, and they are now following them up. It's important to have a church that can disciple believers. Continue witnessing to them, but tell them, if they have no other church, there's a church that has a new believers class. Are we together? And it's important to understand, because many of us are the people that are going to have, you know, babies that are not born full term. Because you bring them to the Lord, they don't know what to do, and they backslide. And you did not do anything about it. Of course, some of them may be an aircraft. You may not know where to tell them to go to church. But many, like he told me, he always takes their telephone number. He has given a list of them with their telephone numbers. So you can see he has intention of following them up. And I've been very impressed as I looked at what he has actually done. And the person doing it is not just a common person. He's an ambassador of the Kenya government. And he told me even when he was in the previous country where he was posted, people got saved. Since he was brought back to Kenya, 50 people have gotten saved. And that is, you don't address him as Mr. You say, Your Excellency. But he's a brother in the Lord. I remember when he was our ambassador in Sudan, when he heard I was going to speak in a focus conference, he told them he cannot go back before he comes to the embassy. So one of the nights I did not teach in the conference, I went to his house. He was witnessing even in a Muslim country. Now, I don't know what to give. I'm not intending to give his name. But I'm just telling you, it's a real story I'm giving you. And you need to understand, it takes people who are able to look at the things that the church can do so that they don't just preach. They are able to bring people to the Lord. Verse 23, after spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia, Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Verse 23 is the beginning of the third missionary journey. Now you wonder, when did he rest? Many of us preach one sermon and they feel, wow, that's enough for a week. This guy has just come from being beaten, you remember the second missionary journey is full of a lot of troubles, isn't it? He arrives in Antioch. After a short while, he has begun the third missionary journey. Might your problem be wanting ease for too long? Where you are unable to cope. Of course, you can see my problem is how to reduce them. You hear on Friday I was in Nakuru, today I'm here, tomorrow I'm picking twice in the morning and one in the afternoon. The next week, for 3 days I'll be in a fellowship of giving, expounding on the book of expository. I don't ask you to do it because me, I'm retired. I have no school fees to pay. So don't copy me. But try yours. Am I communicating? Yeah. And when you get my age, be like me. Now that there are no children, it's just me and Rebecca. Move. Rebecca, tomorrow we'll be moving. I'll be moving to One Direction. Rebecca is also speaking 3 times in Karura Chapel. Because she's speaking in the morning and the afternoon. They have a women's conference. Then in the evening, we compare notes. It's very important to understand that at our age, there are things only our age can do. If we were babies, we didn't do those things. But now we are at the age where no baby is bothering us. A grandchild visits and runs. But when they were with us, there are things you could not do. Am I clear? So you need, but of course, in the same way, the areas I reached was on Shell, I can't now reach. Because Shell paid my ticket to run all over Africa. I can't afford that. But I can afford to go to Nakuru. Am I communicating? So there are things you can afford and things you can't. Verse 24, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man without a knowledge of the scriptures. You know, this guy came before he has even explained the gospel. He has gifts. And I'm saying it needs, people with the natural gifts of eloquence. That's what we are told about him. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of scriptures. And the King James says, and was eloquent. Now, it's important to understand, and we have already dealt with this issue, that Apollos was a baby Christian. But because of the gifts God gave him, naturally, he used the gifts in order to go. And he didn't take long. He was trained by Priscilla and Aquila. Within no time, he was actually preaching. And I'm asking you, are you the type of a person who feels because you're a Christian, 5 months, you can't witness? The guy was only for weeks. You know, have you understood that in most of the churches Paul established, he never lasted there more than 6 months? And when he left them, he appointed some to be elders. In Valley Road, you have to have gray hair to be accepted. But those ones, the church leaders, the ones we call leaders, the ones he's writing to, had only been with him for 6 months. That's why in Corinth, when he stayed 18 months, we say he stayed a long time. Now for you, you haven't been a Christian for 6 months. You got saved 60 years ago. No, not quite. I was saved more than 50 years ago. But you need to understand, many people are not witnessing because they claim they are young Christians. Am I right? I hope that's not you. Because the Lord is saying, the days of ignorance, God forgive. Now you know. They're supposed to be doing. Verse 25, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord and he spoke with great fervor. You know, he knew something about the Messiah. It's only that he didn't know how he came and about the Holy Spirit. And that information was what is there. He spoke with the little information he had. He spoke with passion and favor. So he goes on and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. Are you getting the message? That you shouldn't wait until you know everything. Don't wait until you have a PhD in theology. The little you know now is adequate to speak it with passion. Are we together? But don't stop there. Continue looking for more information. But in the meanwhile, you don't wait for graduation. The little you learn, you practice. You learn a little more, you practice. That's what Apollos is teaching us. Then verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they could tell, this guy has a knowledge of Jesus Christ, but not the full knowledge. So what do they do? They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. In other words, some of us, our ministry is discipleship. We will listen to somebody, hear the way he is speaking, know there are certain things he doesn't know. We don't embarrass him by asking him questions in public. We invite him to our house. He enjoys a cup of tea. As he's enjoying tea, you say, by the way, you remember you said this. Is it better if you said it this other way? Are we together? And they were able to explain the gospel. Who are the people you need, who have favored, they have the natural gift, but they don't have a full understanding of the gospel. Discipleship is a very important ministry. I remind you what I said earlier. It took God one day to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. But it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. Let me repeat. It took God one day to get the children out of Israel out of. Then it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of there. Even when Kadesh Barnea, they have now arrived at the gate. They actually had, he said, no. We were eating pumpkins in Egypt. Egypt was still in them. And even after we are saved, we require a process of removing Egypt out of us. And it's a responsibility for some of us to help others, although they are born again, to get Egypt. It's important to always recommend to a new believer, even if he is over 60 like me, get him to the new believers class where he will learn the basics. Then he can go on. Am I clear? That's what you need. That's why everybody I lead to the Lord, I always want them to join a new believers class where they repeat kwa kinaganaga, basics of the gospel. Now, so what are you doing? Yourself, have you attended a new believers class from the time you got saved? Have you been able to go through the basics? If you truly want to become a minister, which is what we are learning in the book of Acts, please don't be embarrassed about going to the new believers class. Tell the teacher, I'm not here to get baptized. That I was, I'm as wet can be. But what I'm after is to repeat for me the basics of the gospel. Are we together? Priscilla is doing. This is a preacher. Pastor says, because he's a preacher, we leave him. And that's why in Sitam, we don't allow you, you just come from wherever and you become a member of the church. We tell you to attend long enough. And then we do an interview to find out whether you understand the basics of the gospel. And people say, surely, I came from another church. I say, no. We are talking about here. Please, watch us. Do you agree with us? Do you understand our God? It's all to do with what Priscilla is doing. Listen to people. But you know, some people can never have others because they don't listen to them. In 1974, we began an evangelistic team in Nyandarua. And we started going to schools. By the way, the other day, last month, we met those of us who are preaching in 1974. We have been doing so for 45 years. And we met old people. You know, some of us have not met each other for 30 years. And it was very interesting to remember the basics of doing that. You know what? One of the things we actually agreed, we must organize camps so that we have enough time to tell the children in schools, because you preach and you learn. Now we tell them, bring them to a camp. And this August, we will be having our 45th camp. Now you need to understand, when we started having people preaching with us, we said, we're not sure where they have come from. We started training the preachers with the basics of preaching. We are not a theological school, but we will not send you to a school and you don't know the basics. It's important to understand, my friend, if you truly want to serve the Lord, you must hammer ganga for the Lord. Baby Christians are desiring the sincere milk of the word of God. And it's a pity I've run out of time, but I just hope you understand the place in ministry. It takes teachers, disciples, to build the church of Jesus Christ. So when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. It needs those with wide shoulders for others to use to climb to the area of their ministry. You know, this is a guy so famous, Priscilla and Aquila cannot come to their standard. He trains them, and then he becomes a missionary. And they write letters to the next church, to them, that guy may be young, but he's dynamite. Who are the people you are helping to go higher than you? You're already in ministry, but you want them to go even higher. And you're willing to create opportunities for them by writing letters or using your contacts for them to continue the kingdom. Let us pray. I just want to give you a moment to pray. It takes all types to reach all types. Is there something the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind that you need to get involved in? Or is there something you are involved in that needs to change because for you to be involved in the ministry God wants you, it needs to change? Or is there some training you need for you to be sharper in that ministry? Just go to God and say, God, I've heard you. Take over my life. Is there somebody saying, Brother Nganga, as you pray, remember me? That was my message. And it's God's touch. And I truly want to be a minister of the gospel to reach my type, because I know God will give me my type. Would you like to put up your hand as a sign to God that you truly have heard him? The Lord bless you. You can put the hand down. The Lord bless you. Put the hand down. The Lord bless you. Put the hand down. The Lord bless you at the back. Put the hand down. The Lord bless you. Put it down. The Lord bless you at the front. Put the hand down. Don't put up a second time. But is there anybody else, as I ask our senior pastor to come and pray for us? Anybody else saying, include me in that prayer? Anybody else? Yeah, the Lord bless you. You can put the hand down. Pastor, just come and commit us to God that you will truly walk as a minister of the gospel.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, our hands are bowed before you. Thank you for speaking to each one of us today, Lord. We want to come before you and, Lord, repent, where you provided so many opportunities, but, Lord, we wasted them. You have even given us jobs. Lord, we thought it's just for money. Lord, we pray that you may forgive us. You have taken us to neighborhoods. You have helped us even to go for parties and even to travel abroad. And Lord, we took it for luxury. We just pray that you may forgive us. And now, Lord, those who have raised up their hands and many others, all of us here, Lord, we want to ask you that from this day, have your way, Lord. We pray that this word we have heard today, the Lord will record it to our places of work. Indeed, Lord, we pray that you may continually from now open the eyes of our understanding. Oh God, open our eyes that we may see what you want us to see. Like Paul of old, Lord, may our mission be clear. Hallelujah. That is our prayer, Lord. So we make this commitment before you. The Lord will be true witnesses. And that, Lord, you will help us see the urgency of this matter. That you will not be that company forever. That you will not be in this church forever. That those opportunities you give us, they are very limited time. So, Lord, we ask that you may help us today in the name of Jesus. And all forms of barriers, all the reasons, Lord, all the things that make us not do what you have called us to do, we pray today in Jesus' name that they will bow before the Lord, the King of Kings, that your power will overcome all those other powers, and that, Lord, will live only for you. We bless you and we honor you. Once again, thank you for speaking to us. Pray that you continue to strengthen and to renew our brother's strength, that he moves from one place to another like Paul of old, that you, Lord, your Holy Spirit will guide him. So we thank you and we honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.